Hello, Mavs fans, friends. I'm Kirk Henderson. Welcome to Pod Mavericks Mavs Party. It is literally 8:30 here on Wednesday, May 27th. As you guys know, this is our fan participatory show where you can join and come talk to me about anything Mavs related. It's been a pretty quiet week news-wise. Obviously last week Jason Kidd had been let go. We had a lot to talk about there. And in the week since, there's been just kind of a trickling of potential late round or undrafted free agents that the Mavs have talked to. We got a whole bunch of fake trade ideas on the internet. So if there are, things that you would like to talk about, I would love to hear them. In the meantime, I did want to start the show with some questions that I had posed to me on Twitter during the day. And we'll just go. Ooh, this is a fun one. Just start it out here. Let's see if I can actually share this question correctly. Share the screen. You never know and with screen sharing options. We have this here from Nalskitball, who says, Clippers fan here, addicted to your show. Thank you. Seems like trading down is a legit option for many reasons for the Clippers, and I know that you and fans of the show would love to select the guard of your wishes around 5 through 8. So would you look to strike a deal, and what would a potential trade look like? And he says, for context, the deficiencies of the guards available might be exacerbated by their fit next to Kawhi and Garland, and these two might get traded anyway. So the situation for the Los Angeles Clippers is too uncertain. If the decision gets too complicated, they will definitely chicken out and trade the pick. What a fun question. I don't have a great answer because I don't think the Mavericks have many assets at their disposal right now. Draft capital is the order of the day for most things involving moving up. And the Mavericks have a bunch of useful players, but are they useful to the Clippers that would contextualize and really help them in a way that would be worth going to the Mavericks for? Sheldon Fennell in the chat says, pick 5 for picks 9 and 30. I don't necessarily think that would work. It would work for me because I am a whore for Mikal Brown, but that's sort of a different question than what Nalskitball is asking. My guy Brian Roby has 1.5 million trade ideas that he has been sort of pitching in our Mavs Moneyball Slack. And, there's always fun options in that regard out there. But, I just don't know if the Mavericks would have enough to be worth trading with. So we'll see what's going on from there. Appraise the situation. I will say, and like, there's a couple of other trade related questions here. Let's go back and take a look at some of these. Behind the Back asks, do you think there's any scenario where the Mavs really like a Wagner or Brown and try very hard to move up? I mean, the answer has to be yes. They would of course try to trade up if they can do so without surrendering, I don't know, say at the 2031 pick, because that's basically all that they have, or the Lakers 2029 pick. I just don't see them being able to surrender any actual draft capital to move up because they don't have any. Dallas is just kind of in a challenging spot in that regard. So I think they would trade up. I just don't necessarily think that they have the means to do so. Let's see here. We have one more question, and then I got my guy Tyler who had joined. An old friend on Twitter, Aminu Acids, says, thoughts on a veteran fire sale and taking back contracts for assets, despite us very likely not having a pick in the 2027 draft? Or does this roster deserve a run? And should we try to be the best we can next year to the detriment of the future and my sanity? Fun question. I think I've addressed this in part before. I think what the Mavericks will do is try to be as competitive as possible while also looking to be a asset way station, with who all is out there in the universe. So that's what I hope they do. I mean, Masai Ujiri has given every Mavs fan some hope with regards to they're not going to rush through this because they can't. There's not anything to rush through. The Mavericks, well, if the Mavericks are organically good, let's say they don't really like any of the trades and they bring everyone back. If the Mavericks are organically good and like challenge for like the sixth seed, that's sort of a different story. But I just have a very hard time seeing that. Kyrie, I know everybody's really excited about him, but Kyrie shouldn't be counted on for more than 50 games. You know, that would be nice. That would be kind of be my ceiling. And if he blows through that, fantastic. But my expectations with Kyrie have always been relatively low. And then I'd be happy to be surprised. So, you know, I don't want to say they should have a fire sale. I'm mainly noting that I would say all options are on the table. Ujiri really didn't have a great last few years of contract signings, but I think he is an open and willing dealer. I think it would be 9 and 7 for Monk, says Jamie Cardona. I don't know what that means. I'm guessing 9 and pick 7. My brain isn't working right now. That's okay. All right. We got my buddies, Tyler and Jack, that are waiting in the chat. Would you guys both like to come up at the same time? Do you just want to do that? And then if anybody else joins, we'll punch you guys after 15 or 20 minutes. Yeah, let's just do that. All right. We got Tyler and Jack, both Mavs, Moneyball contributors. How are you doing today?
You picked an entertaining night for it. We've had okay, some draft news.
To draft news, and I just seem to luck into this stuff largely because I need to be recording and doing stuff on the same days. Like that's why I pick Monday and Wednesday, because you know, repeatable content. So let's talk news first then.
Well, it's disappointing for some of us on site. Milan Momchilovic, Iowa State forward, shot 48.6% from three last year on over 8 attempts per game, is going back to college. Bit of a disappointment. Yes, come see me. that's a little bit disappointing. He was a guy I would have promised pick 30. And for him to go back to school for a payday, that sucks.
It's such a fascinating wrinkle to this college stuff. Because what it means is that later drafts will become a little bit deeper, not necessarily stronger, but deeper. And I think eventually that becomes good for the NBA, but it does suck for the Mavericks specifically. Who else is going back
next year? Yeah. Yeah.
Who else of note had decided to go back within the last few hours?
Tyler Tanner. I saw is going back. Amari Allen, right? He's going back.
Amari Allen. Alabama.
Yeah.
A big one. That was Brian's guy.
Mm-hmm. He was all in at pick 30 for Amari Allen.
Oh, yeah, man.
So he's back to school.
Makoa Pete's staying in the draft for some unknown reason. I don't know why he's doing
Los
that.
Angeles Lakers pick 25, Koa Pete.
Do you know who his agent is, Jack?
I don't.
Rich Paul.
Who is his agent?
Oh, it's Clutch.
Oh.
So here's
he's
the thing
got
about
promise at 25.
So but here's a funny thing about Clutch, and they have a bit of a challenging reputation as being like very difficult to deal with. But one of the things I heard Rich Paul talk about at one point when he talks to these guys, particularly the meaning like the guys that are coming out of the draft, he is like nakedly, like almost like scarily honest with them because he doesn't want to overpromise. So that is an interesting, like he must have a landing spot that they've already sort of assumed. And what, who are like,
I think Denver, that's the one team that okay. I'm looking at. And like if he falls that far, I think he's perfect there. Because he does, I mean, yeah. He kind of does have to play because they have no depth, but he
Do
wouldn't
you want
have
Aaron
to.
Aaron Gordon, who can't shoot. That's kind of the thing.
Okay.
Well, Aaron Gordon couldn't shoot until like a year and a half ago. So
that's a really good point.
They might feel like, hey, we did it with Aaron Gordon. We can fix this guy's shot.
I mean, Kirk, you have to take swings.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I know you being around the sport for a while, you've seen kind of shots, and Koa's kind of reworked his shot a little bit since mm-hmm. last year in the season. It's worse now. Like, full stop. It's he's got the his left hand is almost like in front of the ball when he goes up. There were some clips of it at the combine.
Oh yeah, he because he's at like the clutch event, right?
Yeah, and like shooting. Look, he needed to rework his shot, but I just hate what they did to it. So
I do believe that guys can improve their shooting, but I think certain guys, usually the wildly athletic guys, have the most problems with it because for their entire lives, they have solved all of their problems by being athletic. And shooting is simply not one of those things. I mean, that the Thompson twins are both playable and extendable speaks to how good they are at everything else, despite being like, they're like, they have the precision of like a musket in the American Revolution. Like, you never know where the fuck the ball's going to go with those two with shooting. And Pete, I've not seen his shot lately, and that is a little bit alarming. But I mean, there's also lots of success stories where you get with the right shooting coach, you get a guy with the right attitude, and you know, they like that's the kind of late round gamble that a team like the Nuggets, like, they need to take and hope that it hits just where they are in the team building cycle.
When we do our next mock, that's going to be where I put him. Like, putting him
didn't he with Jokic in the first mock
would be nice. Thought,
he ended up with the Lakers in the most recent one. That's why it's sort of stuck in my head, just because I think it's funny. Because it's like, what could they do? Like, what could Luka do with a guy like Koa Pete? You know, was there anybody else that you guys were happy is staying in? Or depressed that they are bowing out?
Alan Graves yesterday announcing he was staying in made me very happy.
Please,
he won't be there pick 30s, but if you can trade a vet for to move up to like your
12 and 18,
okay,
like that's what we're doing.
Alan Graves is one of my he's polarizing. Like, I was listening to Sam Vecenie yesterday with Kevin O'Connor, and he said he wouldn't have a first round grade on him.
Which, really?
He's a polarizing player because you look at him, it's like, well, he's kind of 6'9", 225. I mean, he kind of can be bullied, a bit of a tweener defensively, but I mean, you look at it, the shot is there. He plays well, three levels. Like, he's really good passer. Like, he knows where he's going with the basketball every time. It's not flashy, but it's just really solid. Like, I'd pick him as high as 15, to be honest with you.
I think, like, if you are into, like, the advanced stuff, like, especially defensively, because it's weird because his like, catch-all defensive metrics are bad, but his, like, steal and block percentage is elite. So,
that's
everything about him is kind of weird. It's like it says he's a horrible defender, but I'm looking at his like, deflections and his blocks and his steals, and it's amazing. So,
Kirk, when I wrote his profile up, one of the things I noted was, so if you do like offensive usage rate is whenever you either the possession ends in either a bucket or an assist on your end. I did it defensively where if it ends in a steal, block, or rebound.
Okay.
And his defensive usage rate was like 30%. Like, he ends a lot of possessions.
Yeah.
He has a 10% stock rate.
Okay.
Crazy.
He's incredibly good. Lines. And he can really shoot. And he's big. That's kind of the whole thing.
He just fouls a metric shit ton.
You know, foul. You got six fouls in the NBA. He'll be all right.
So I had a question to lead off the show from Twitter, and I don't think either of you are here yet. A Clippers fan asked if the Mavericks would try to move up to five, and if so,
what Najee Marshall? We got Najee, we got PJ, we got Gaffer, we got Christie. What do you want?
So that
you can have two of them. You can have two of them. We'll move up to five for this guy right here in my banner.
That was sort of that was my answer where I said, if you're at all interested in the Mavericks players, I'm sure there's something that could be worked out. But like, Dallas has no draft capital to speak of.
I'm not
like,
trading
They would be insane to trade the Lakers' 2029 pick. Mm-mm. And they would be insane to trade their own 2031 pick. And that's all they have, unless I'm missing something.
Yeah. They have like some seconds, but that's the only first they have.
And if they're going to contemplate moving back, why not move back to like 8 and take 8 and 23 off Atlanta?
Or like go with OKC and get like
12 and 17.
Aaron Wiggins, 12 and 18. I mean, Wiggins isn't great, but you know, one of their guys.
Yeah. And Oklahoma like attempting to trade up into the top four
scares the shit out of me.
I just, it's gross.
So scary. Please don't.
It's just
please don't get boosted on that team. Please. Because they're the perfect team to insulate all of his flaws.
See,
like Chet, and he's such a perfect fit next to Chet. Like him and Chet, couldn't imagine a better 4-5.
I like that. See, and for as much as I have been grumpy about Boozer, it's the insulating of the potential. Like, if you throw him on the Pacers, that's a shitload of fun. I don't know if they're good, but I would watch that because that sounds amazing. If you were to put him on, who's number three?
Grizzlies. See, he fits for the Grizzlies, honestly.
That's also
he
pretty fun.
He works.
Yeah.
You throw him and Edie would be sick.
Yeah. Bulls, Edie can stay healthy. That'd
the
be
Bulls
sick.
Is a big fucking no for me. The Bulls have been, like, it's just that's where things go to die. And I don't know.
He needs a team with infrastructure, especially behind him.
Or like a center. He just needs a big, like, rim protecting center, and he'll be fine.
Well, so I asked a question. And I'm not published this yet. I need to. Today was not a good day for actual work. We might as well share it here because I don't think pod listeners and site readers are the same groups necessarily. I asked the question of what's something you've talked yourself into since the last time we talked draft stuff. What if Tyler? We'll start with you. What's something draft related that you've talked yourself into?
The Mavs are going to make a trade night one.
Hey,
at a prediction.
A trade up or a trade down?
We'll see.
So I said this. I said at pick 9, it could be that they see value in moving back and drafting a guy they didn't feel was worth it at 9. Think like if they all do fall in love with like a Filon, or if they get some intel that, hey, Burry's might be there at 12 because 10 and 11, they don't want him or something like that. It's like, okay, I can see that. You know, it could be wanting to acquire an extra first round pick with, you know, pick 30 if they include a vet. So let's say they package 30 and, you know, PJ Washington to move up to 21, 22, something like that. I did not put move up. I do not think that is in the cards.
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, it's not Mavsy.
I would love it because I love the guards, like full stop, just love them. But so, I don't see that happening. I think if they stick at 9, they're just going to take their chances on a guard falling to them because I think Mara's probably going to go. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in the top 8.
Every breadcrumb, everything I'm seeing is just, I think he's
Flemings.
Yeah. If I had to like put money on who they take at 9, I'd guess Flemings.
But if they don't like Flemings, which I don't, they'll love the kids.
Yeah. Masai would love Flemings. He just seems like his type of guard. I really like how he
answers stuff has been. And I, whatever is going on with his team's like PR strategy, the level of naked honesty, it's elite. Holy shit. If you guys have not heard him talk, who was the first guy that he went on with? And it was like right after
Jackson Pfeiffer.
Yes. And like, I was like very sassy. I was like, I was more interested in that guy than I was in Kingston Fleming just because he's got a unique look is what I'll say. But every single show he goes on, you know, he did this with KOC, where KOC is my friend, and KOC has like, he's not a bad interviewer, but there was a couple of questions in the middle where I was like, Kevin, why'd you ask that? I don't want to know these things. But then you walk away from the Kingston Flemings of it all, knowing that like, and this is too old of a comparison for you guys, but he gives me like Charlie Ward vibes, where I'm like, this guy's going to play 12 years. He's going to play forever. He may never be elite, but he will be a 6 or 7 year starter at bare minimum and just go however he plays, he's going to make a positive impact. I think the Mavs having to settle and take him at 9 would annoy me in the moment, but I think it would make the Mavericks infinitely more watchable next year.
Remember, we did our first mock draft on the site, probably, I don't know, towards the end of the year, it might've been March, and we had Flemings fall to like 7. Mm-hmm. And people were like, that's insane. He would never fall that far. Yeah. And here we are at 9, and like the most common mock I see is Flemings.
It's the 6-2 and it's the 6-2 and the 6-2, right? Isn't that why?
I actually disagree. I think it's because Wager kind of really started rising like a couple months ago. That everyone kind of had him top 6, but I think it's just Mikal I guess his back's fine, so he's up there.
Yeah.
And then everyone just kind of assumes Acuff's not making it past the Kings. Mm-hmm. So I think it's mainly just Mikel jumping up, and then Wagler had his rise at the end of the season, and Kingston kind of was so-so towards the end of the year. Didn't really have that, like, massive game.
His wanting to, and we're going to let Brian jump in here just because I know Brian's itching to talk about this stuff. And again, guys, if you want to join the show, these other guys will certainly let you on and leave at some point. So, this has turned into Mavs drafty ball, which is fine by me.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
But if there's anything, if anybody wants to talk coaching and hop on and talk about stuff, please feel free. The link is in the show notes. It's really easy to join, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to bring Brian up here. And so I just was sort of, I have my brain's kind of all over the place with regards to this, because nine is just, this is just such an important pick, and they just have to get it right. And so that's why I think I'm just perseverating about this, because, there's been a lot of talk on the timeline the last day and a half, Mavs adjacent stuff, about where it's very clear the 2019 offseason was a disaster for the Mavericks, and the 2020 draft was a disaster for the Mavericks. Now, there's good reason why 2020 was a disaster, but the Mavericks also kicked themselves in the foot. When you look at all that stuff in hindsight and you see, and we've got to be fair to Nico Harrison. Up until the time when he decided to trade Luka Doncic, he had built a contending team with limited resources, because the Mavericks were in kind of a shitty spot. And so, up until so you see what it took to build a team. And like, once you kind of get behind the count in a team build, it's very difficult to dig yourself out, which is why we keep talking about, should the Mavericks take on, do their best to take on picks. And I know there's a whole bunch of Mavs fans. This is one thing I've noticed, and I'm curious as to your guys' reaction to this, because you guys kind of talk to a different generation of people than me. Longtime Mavs fans that are in their, I would say, 30s and 40s have been conditioned to think draft picks don't matter, because the Mavericks have not – they've had a few big swings in the 2000s, but then in the 20-teens, it was just a non – shout-out Dominique Jones. Like, there's just a bunch of dudes that never really panned out. And so do you think, younger Mavs fans and people that you're friends with, we'll go to kick to Brian first. Do you think there's, the value and understanding of importance of draft capital?
Sorry, Brian
says no. Yeah. Yeah.
I think not really. I think that we're in a weird spot now, where there is either too much value placed on a given pick, or solely on the act of acquiring picks, or not nearly enough, because people, like you said, come from the generation that was mostly under Cuban and pretty much remembers, like you said, the 2000 draft completely whiffing, 2020
whiffing. Josh Green over Desmond.
Yeah, and then not really having much happen in between in the draft, except for 2018, where we hit the lotto.
And then...
But
then nothing else happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. And then
nothing actually, the 2018 draft, they just missed on both picks. It was like, whatever.
Right, it happens. But it's just like, you have to have the capital to take the swings.
Yeah.
And that's where the Mavericks have been so bad for most of my time as a fan, where they're like, oh, this doesn't matter because of XYZ reason. And I know... So I don't know. I perseverate over this. Like, the time between the lottery and the draft is just very nerve-wracking, because you're seeing things sort of form up and you're seeing ideas. And, of course, the NBA wants a certain level of drama to this, interest. So I don't know. I could be wrong, but we'll sort of see where this goes. I rambled for a while, and then I had questions for all of you, and now I don't remember what any of them are. Brian, I want to ask you again, because you missed the first part of the show. A Clipper fan asked if we would be interested in trading up to 5, and if there was a deal there. What is the deal? I don't know.
So what the deal would be? It would hinge on a couple of things, right? One, there's no severe punishment coming down for the trees thing, right?
Oh,
Kawhi's
like, there's nothing major happening dependent upon that that would suspend Kawhi for any significant amount of time. And secondly, they will be keeping Kawhi, meaning that they're trying to maintain like a competitive window. If that is the case, there could be a deal made there. If it is Kyrie for salary and that pick, or Kyrie
and Garland and five.
Kyrie and nine.
Oh, send it in. Send it in. Yeah. They wouldn't
if
do that.
If they want to remain competitive right now.
I'd trade Kyrie for Garland straight up, but they wouldn't do that.
Would they? Garland?
Again, it depends.
Garland's really good. Garland's really good.
Darius Garland. Yeah,
I think that, but like them getting Garland, I think bails them out because he's young. Like that bails them out long term because they were done if they didn't make that deal. And now they could have Wogler and him.
He extends their window, but here's the thing. Is Garland a cornerstone piece?
They're getting Wogler. They have five. They can draft their cornerstone. Garland's their number two.
Yeah, but they could also just like take a big instead or get a guard that's like
probably going to be better right long now. Enough for them to care about long term.
Yeah.
Why I'll stay. The money's too much, guys.
I'm saying he's kicked off the team. Like, he's voided the contract. Years. Like, and he's playing.
Yeah,
for, like,
that's the alternate right here is that there's something goes on with his deal that they send him down from the league. Right. But if that doesn't happen and they want to keep like a pretty
competitive,
a pretty like nearsighted competitive window open for like through the end of Kawhi's prime, I could see swapping picks for Kawhi and Garland or swapping picks for Kyrie and Garland. Swapping picks for Kyrie and then some salary, and then maybe they ship out Garland somewhere else to, like, I don't know, try and refurbish him as like a wing piece or to get a big that way. Or maybe they just draft Mara at nine and then use Garland's salary to go and get something else. But there is like the outline of a deal from us getting from nine to five. I think far more likely though is us moving from nine to eight and taking whatever guard falls there, because the Hawks, we know for sure want Mara.
Right.
Like we are certain they want Mara.
And that coach wants Mara. I've seen like early in the draft, early in the lot post lottery process, you would occasionally see Mara mocked to the Mavs, which I think would be interesting if Dallas had a guard. Like, I just think that guard is too pressing of a need because it's who, I mean, who are you finding on the free agency market? I mean, I don't know. I would, I've sort of talked myself into it just because he's like one of the biggest fucking people on the planet. But I don't know. What Jack, go, you have a take. I can tell.
So if you could guarantee me that they could move up to like 20 and Okori would be there at 20, I'm taking Mara at nine. Or like wherever, if you can get him, because I'd rather have Mara and Okori than any other combo of two players. Because I think Mara is really good, and then I think Okori has his flaws. I don't think he's quite as NBA ready as some of these other guys, but I really like Okori. But also, I mean, I don't think they can like guarantee they can move up to 20 because you have to get a ball handler.
Yeah.
But if you guarantee me Mara and Okori, that'd be an unbelievable draft haul.
I mean, I have a pretty easy way. We can get to exactly 20.
Who's 20?
That's San Antonio.
Do they want PJ? They need PJ.
What do you mean, do they want PJ? Do they need PJ? They lost all the Carter Bryant minutes that they tried in this series.
I'll take him. Give me Carter Bryant.
You can keep Carter Bryant. You just give us PJ.
No. Not even like us getting Carter. Because he's going to be good. It's just he's not there now. And that team is ready to try and win.
They need
at least within the next couple of years.
It's funny, Carter Bryant. This is a tangent, but I just have to say this out loud. I think Carter Bryant guarded Cooper Flagg better than anyone in the league.
Yeah, I agree.
Which like, is ironic.
He was getting destroyed. The second to last game of the season, he was getting.
Oh roasted. Yeah, I was about to say once Cooper
he was getting he was roasted. Him,
but. Yeah. But I mean, but that's more a testament to Cooper than a knock on. And
Cooper also 30 pieced him in summer league. Like
I was at that game. Flag was like, what different the fuck player. Is happening? Yeah. This guy will not move. Like, he was just a wall.
Yeah, the Cooper, first bit of that San Antonio game in summer league, I was like, man. I actually kind of got like the Carter Bryant, Sean Marion comps in that moment. Because I was like, yeah, that's not really anything this kid can't do, like, defensively.
Well,
once he has also, in the Sweet 16 last year, I remember this because I wrote about it on the site, like lit Carter Bryant on fire for 20 straight minutes.
Yeah.
It was the best path of basketball I played all year.
Well, sorry for that side tangent. I just like Carter Bryant. It's just annoying watching the Spurs be good. And that, but that all, like watching the Spurs be good and watching how good they are now in the Thunder 2 is sort of the overarching context of this entire conversation. Mm-hmm. Because I've had a couple of Mavs fans be like, we need to be good by the end of Cooper's first contract. I don't entirely disagree, but
what's the definition of good?
Exactly.
Like, what does good mean? Are we making the playoffs or are we trying to make the finals?
So for me, and I'm like, let's just go around the horn on this. For me, by the 2030 season, so it's just, so 26, 27, 27, 28, 28, 29. So that's 28 by the 2029 playoffs.
By like the last year of his rookie deal?
The last year of his rookie deal. The last year, like the pre-extension kick in. I would say I would love for them to make the playoffs with a scary first round opponent for, you know, somebody at the 3-4 spot. So maybe being, you know, in sort of that level, you know, five or six in the West. That would be like my upper hope, because it's so hard to crack these tiers without an injury. And so that would be like my high level hope. But even if they're at the, you know, the 7-8 spot and like they've been in the play-in and they're challenging the Spurs and Thunder, that's just all like I would also be accepting of that. It's just team building is just not something you whip around overnight. And I think Luka really spoiled fans' expectations because he lifted them up so quickly in spite of his flaws and the Mavericks' flaws in team building. So Tyler, what is for the 2029 playoffs, what would you, let's say 3 years from now, what would be your hope for a successful team?
That'd be like their seasoning year, where it's their first time really like legitimately there and they're kind of going through it, and they might go long in the first round and get bounced in the second, or in the 4-5, they might lose in the first round. Like I view this differently. I don't think they're under any immediate pressure at all to win. Mm-mm. Like I would say even this year and into next year, I would say their number one goal should be asset stacking so they could properly load the decks for Cooper. And then by the time the 28-29 year rolls around,
now it's like, all right,
let's go. Because Jack, at that point, OKC is really expensive. The Spurs really expensive. are paying Wimby. They're about to be expensive. It's like, look, your window's starting to open. Let's see.
And this is a tough one. Like, good is being a Western Conference Finals contender. So basically,
I disagree.
Top four, finishing in the top four in the West. I'm just saying this because there's a lot of fans have been, not like conditioned, because I don't want to be insulting, but like we've been spoiled.
Yeah. Spoiled. But think about the last like 25 years. The Mavericks have been one of the best teams in the league the last 25 years.
We've been spoiled by Dirk. We've been spoiled by Luka. It goes back to your earlier point.
We're going to be spoiled by Coop.
Yes, agree. I think we will, but I think that we should learn the lessons that past front offices did not learn with those previous two, and not take for granted this window that we have for him, and not take for granted what he can do and how much easier he makes team building for us. We should still put in all the necessary work, all the necessary legwork to build this team out properly from the ground up, you know what I mean, around him. And we shouldn't take for granted, oh, we can take this player. It doesn't matter that they don't do this. Cooper can pick up that slack.
I like this. Okay. I want to ask one more question of each of you, or all the way. I want to around the horn answer. And then if you guys have any takes you'd like to get off your chest, and then I'll punch you guys and go to my guy, Killikam, who's waiting down there. There have been numerous fake trade articles in existence. The idea that permeates more than anything else is moving Kyrie Irving. So a two-pronged question for you. Would you move Kyrie Irving? Yes or no, and why? And do you think the Mavericks actually move Kyrie Irving? So we'll go in reverse order because Tyler started last time. Brian?
Would I move Kyrie Irving? If I am bowled over by a deal, then yes, I would. Okay. If I don't have to, if the offers that we're going to get are these poo-poo platter offers that I'm seeing online where it's like a spare late first and like a young guy Minnesota that nobody that actually kind of believes in.
I saw it was like Julius Randle, Terrence Shannon, and 28, and I was like, bro, come
on. Yeah, and it's like I don't value Terrence Shannon like that. I definitely don't value the 28th pick in any draft, even this one that I think is going to be pretty good, right? But even with this one is pretty deep. And so far, we've only lost, what, three guys who had, like, first-roundish grades on them that have gone back, and the window closes today. So this is still, like, a 25 to 29, 30-guy draft, right, of, like, first-round guarantee guys. And I still wouldn't really want the 28th pick in a class like this that badly, right? So would I do them for a deal where we're getting multiple unprotected first-round picks and are, and at least one of them is going to be, you know, presumably good, you know? And or if it's, like, the value of that, so, like, an unprotected first and, like, a young guy we actually value, not, like, 21 and Ron whatever Holland. The hell Ron Holland is, like, you know?
Or I loved the Ron Holland idea just because Cooper and Ron Holland are the two is like a fuck you on the floor to every team. Like all it means is he can't shoot at all, but he's crazy as the day is long. And like Cooper needs a good guy,
or he's Josh Green crazy. Like he looks like he's doing stuff.
Man,
he's a better defender than that. I think he's a real defender, but the issue is he's not that good a finisher. He's not really a shooter. No, he's not a ball handler, and he's not that good of a cutter.
He's kind of a, you know, it's like Duncanville won the state title with him and Anthony Black here. And like they just destroyed people on sheer physicality. And I value that, but I also know it's not really an NBA. I like the concept because I like crazy players like this. Like Ron Holland, like has almost started a couple of international incidents in like USA basketball because he's so crazy. And like, I like him and Flagg are just too.
He needs some goons.
Yeah. I love Ron, but like,
I just looked at Ron.
If you promised me that like he has real prospects to shoot, then I'd look at him a bit differently.
But I don't think so. He shot 25% from three.
Shot a lot of threes, didn't he, Jack? Am I wrong?
Three-point rate is fine. Okay. But
for him,
I mean, I'm looking at his offensive rebounds. He does not get offensive rebounds. No, he doesn't really pass. Do can't shoot. Can't finish.
Yeah. Fascinating player. Jack, what's the Kyrie question? Because you've had some spicy takes on this in our chats.
I'm the same as Brian. I mean, if you are going to get multiple future firsts or a lottery pick in this year's draft, like I did a Miami Heat mock trade, Tyler Harrow, and I think honestly just Tyler Harrow and 13 for Kyrie, I'd do that. But if I'm not getting a lottery pick, I need multiple future firsts, like straight up. If I'm not getting that, it's not worth it. And yes, they need assets. And they need him so badly, but I don't think you can just trade Kyrie for one pick. And then the second part, will they? I think it's like 5-10% chance they do, because I don't think any team is offering that, any sort of real offer for Kyrie, especially because like I'm already seeing insiders be like teams are kind of scared to trade future first anyway. Is some team like three first for Kyrie, two future first for Kyrie? I heavily doubt firsts. It.
They're scared to trade picks past like 2029.
Exactly.
They'll give a pick from now to 2029.
I don't blame any team for that, because I think these lottery reform, if it is actually passed, will change within three seasons. Like I think it's going to be real bleak. Tyler, what's your answer?
We went round and round with this a few days ago.
It was great.
I wouldn't even need to be bowled over by a pick, trade offer. It's like, look, I mean, he's 34 and he's coming off an ACL.
Sure.
Find me a player who's come back at 34 off an ACL and been the same guy. I don't want to find out. But you give me a first? Yeah, see ya. I'll drive you to the airport.
So here's my thing with that. Unless Kyrie comes back next year and is just a bad basketball player, which I think is very unlikely, you could wait till the deadline and get a trash first. You could just wait until the deadline and get a trash first if it's that. Because I think the upside, he could come back and some team gets really desperate in February, and then you can get like a real good offer. I just don't see the value trading him now.
It's like, look, if Houston wants him, you take some salary back and you get your own pick back. It's like, yeah, Yeah, I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Okay, well, I think that's a different asset than a random first.
Here's like, the thing. I don't like that.
I would need more than that. I would need at least two. I need at least two.
I don't think our pick in 2029 is going to be that valuable. Much because I think we're going to be by the summer of 2029, we'll probably be good by virtue of Cooper and whoever we take this year alone.
What if Cooper tears an ACL? You want to have your
okay?
Stuff.
The team's terrible. The season's. I'm not watching the games. Like, I don't know. I just think the upside Indiana of keeping Kyrie's
in the finals, trading for their own first round pick this year. Granted, they blew it because
one year away though. Like we're talking 3 years down the line.
Yeah, we literally have no idea what's going to happen at that point. I understand valuing the insurance of having it, but going by the new lottery rules that are going to be imposed, we'd be just 15. As fine having any team that pick that's going to be a 16 seed or lower, right?
Sure.
So
I'm just saying, as long as we get a fake first round pick, you're not going to get it. Like, I wouldn't trade Kyrie for like a top 20 protected pick. Like, no, but give me like a decent first round pick or your own pick back. Yeah. See ya.
So I'm going to answer. I just have to get my take off this question. So I think the previous, I hate the word regime because it's not like we were under rule, but yeah. It's like,
Nico Harrison's up there.
Kind
of like
the previous,
there's a lot of fascist tendencies the Mavericks were employing under Nico Harrison. Let's be real.
The previous front office, as it was with ties to the trade, owed it to Kyrie to treat him well because Kyrie is the most popular. He is a player's player. He is what he is to this generation of what Kobe Bryant was to before. I think how he is treated, because like one of the things that gets lost in the Luka trade, that at least as I saw it, was how fucking holy shit the rest of the league was in terms of players. They're like, oh, this means anybody can be traded. And it was not a good look on the Mavericks as an organization. Yeah. What you do with Kyrie next, even with this new ownership, I think says a lot. So I'm sort of walked off my previous position of you do what Kyrie wants, because that was when I was expecting Riccardi and Finley to be in charge. I'm a little further away from that position now because I don't think it's realistic, but I also do believe it would be in Masai's best interest, because Masai has a lot of goodwill. Masai is one of these guys that people like, despite kind of a questionable track record his last few years. He's actually really well liked. So it's like he has a certain amount of rope to play with here. And if he wants to move Kyrie against sort of Kyrie's wishes, I think he probably has the Mavs like political capital to do that. Because yeah. He's also, this is the other part we're not really talking about enough. The Mavericks fans fucking love Kyrie. Love him. Like it is, as they should in terms of a player. You know, we got a couple of Mavs Moneyball staffers that would direct him into outer space if they had the opportunity. That's okay, because that's a preferential thing. So I'm sort of thinking about that one. Okay. Go ahead.
But before you give us a move, I actually have like a trade to suggest along the lines of what Jack was talking about in terms of like what I would actually take back for Kyrie, something that I do think is feasible and kind of plays to what you were mentioning before as far as Masai has the sort of political capital within the org to make a move without Kyrie's like overt blessing, right? But I think he respects Kyrie enough that he would go to him and he would tell him. And he would keep him informed on the process if something like this were going to go down. I think that as much as he's been talking Kyrie up, I do sort of think that it's about a 40-60 chance that he would absolutely trade Kyrie if he saw a deal that he just happened to like. If it was, like I mentioned before, trade him for the Hawks to swap picks. Yeah. If it was something like Kyrie and 9 for like Kuminga, Kispert, if they don't want to do Risashay, but those two are interchangeable. I don't really care about Reza Shea like that. And 8 and 23. So we get 8, 23, 30. And then we have, you know, whatever Kuminga is, he's an expiring at the very least. And then, you know, just some other contract, either a shooter or whatever Zach Reza Shea is going to be. Something like that. Like, that's the kind of, I'm not asking for crazy value. It's like, hey, can we swap these picks in the lotto, make sure we're going to get our guard of the future, and can we get an extra pick off of you for that? That's value to me.
I just I think they're going Mara at eight. I don't know. I would just be like, take Mara at eight. We'll call your bluff that you're going to take Kingston. And then like 23 is decent, but again, like I think there's other avenues to get 23 if you really want to get 23. Again, if I'm trading Kyrie, I want two lottery picks. If I'm going to trade Kyrie, I want nine.
I don't think you get that. Yeah, not
that's why I don't think.
And I really value him.
But I'm valuing Kyrie. Like I need a Godfather offer for me to trade him this offseason.
I don't think we can do that. But I will say, last thing, for all the poo-poo platter offers that we've seen float around online and in the media, if these teams so desperately need Kyrie, and there are so many of them that do, just off the top of my head, Houston, Minnesota, Detroit, three teams that are like trying to go and compete and expect them to be like a second, third banana on a potentially championship team, I don't think you can say that in one breath and then the other also say, well, yeah, we just give like a throwaway first for him and then that'd be good, right? I don't think those two things are congruent.
And so that's again why I think they should wait until the deadline. Like, let those teams really get desperate. Like, imagine Detroit regresses next year. Like, some, you know, things just kind of don't really work out, and they're at the deadline, and they're just kind of mediocre, and Kyrie's playing pretty well. Like, they could get really desperate, and that's when you can strike and get, like, a really good deal. That's why I just think waiting makes the most sense.
It depends if you value
mid-season.
Getting to that point and maybe extracting an extra first out of it, but you've got Brayden Bryce on your roster instead of potentially Michael Brown, or Adai Mara on your roster instead of potentially Keaton Walker. Because I value having that player more than
If you can trade up to five, I'll trade Kyrie. I'll trade Kyrie in nine.
Even five. Those guys could make it to eight, like with the way this goes.
I don't think so.
Look, crazy things have happened. That's all I'll say. And if Michael Brown Jr. is sitting there at eight,
If Mikael Brown is at eight, then they can have whatever they want from the team, except for Coop. Just pick your asset or player, and you can have them.
Yeah.
Okay. We agree on that.
Well, okay. Let's. If you have any other things you want to get off your chest, I will go one by one, and then we'll bring on Killer Cam and anybody else. And then I got one guy who's struggling to connect, so I'm trying to work through that with him. Tyler, why don't you go first? Anything you're thinking about that you want to talk about?
Summer League is 6 weeks away, sir.
It's gonna be a long 6 weeks for me, man.
It's you and me both.
But no, you don't got two puppies that wake up at 4 o'clock every morning and shit everywhere. I love them. They're fun. Jack, what are you thinking?
Okay. One thing I have seen, and this is a take I've seen just general NBA on NBA Twitter, is people getting like really scared about all of the guards because they're watching this OKC San Antonio series and, you know, no small guards are playing and it's all these wings and these defensive guys. And I just think that's kind of dumb. Like, I don't think you can just try to build your team because San Antonio and OKC build their team one way, especially because on the other side, like the Knicks are making it with a tiny guard who can't defend. So I just think it's a little dumb to overreact to this one playoff series. And I also don't think the Mavericks need to build their team to beat either one of these teams. That's another thing. I've seen some Mavs fans be like, we can't draft like Michael because he wouldn't really be able to play in this series. And I'm like, the Mavericks probably aren't playing these teams until 2030 at the earliest.
Yeah, they're going to be different teams at that point.
Who, like, think about the NBA 5 years ago. Like, I just don't think that's a smart strategy.
No, I think that makes sense. That's a good take, actually, because you just can't build for what's happening in this finals. Brian, what about you? Anything?
Yeah, I'll piggyback, Jack. The Girthflation is taking over the Mavs fan base, and for all the
I feel like I'm very responsible.
Tyler is responsible.
Tyler is Dwight Uncle Block. And like a couple other people online, like all people who I respect and whose opinions I think very highly of. But hey, man, for all the this guard, could you see Michael Brown Jr. out here like trying to bump with these guards? Well, no, but I see Stephon Castle, who's big and built and tall and athletic and all that. And I see him go out here and have 8 and 11 fucking turnovers a game, right? So maybe you need somebody out there who can handle the ball and reliably run your offense as opposed to worrying about what he's benching or how wide his chest is. You know, so that's all I got.
I like it.
Can I get one last thing?
Of course.
Braden Burry's truthers, I see you. I respect you. I'm with you.
He had to get it off. He almost went the entire show without glazing Braden Burry's, but he just couldn't.
I've been converted too. I like Braden Burry's. That can't be the one reason you draft him. That's all.
Of course not.
Best.
Great option.
You guys, be good. Thanks for hanging out.
See ya.
All right. Coming up next is my man, Kill Cam. What's up, brother?
What's up? My internet is kind of spidey right now. So that's if okay. I go kind of in and out, that's why.
Oh, we'll give it a try.
One thing that's even kind of just grinding on my gears a little bit is Braden Burry's. Like, I like him. He's a fine player. He's a fine player, but like, just the overhype of him is just crazy, man. Like, people saying he could be a lead guard, which I don't see the playmaking enough to where he can be a point guard. So he's mm-hmm. pretty much going to be stuck to like a two guard, maybe.
There goes Killer Cam's internet that he was talking about. I think this is a good take, though. I am not super high or super low on him.
Oh yeah, we're
here. There we go.
Oh yeah, my bad. Like if you just view him, especially because I kind of know you, Kirk. So I was like, you don't really know enough about him. So people are gonna just if you draft him, it'll be fine. But people are gonna go hype him up and up and up to where it's like you're gonna kind of be frustrated and like disappointed. But if you just always keep in mind, even if we draft him, even if because I think. Outside of Peterson, he's probably have the best rookie season because he's the most like physically developed because he's the oldest out of all these guards. So he's gonna have a good year. So I expect people to kind of hype him up to kind of make him seem like, oh, maybe he's the budding all star. Maybe he can be like maybe all NBA player. But if you just always keep in mind the idea of like he's just a good role player. Like it's so eventually when. As seasons go on, when he kind of dips into play and people kind of get mad at him for not reaching the like unwarranted expectations of him.
Right. No.
It's always like this thing. Like I'm fine with Burry's, and if it.
I accidentally muted you. Unmute yourself. That was me trying to mute myself and I to talk to my kid. Can you hit unmute? Sorry, Killer Cam. I accidentally muted you.
Yeah, I
got there. You. We go. Sorry, I was clicking the wrong button. My kid was asking me a question.
I got you. So, if he's like the only one there, is fine. But it's like. I'm like, but some people are kind of like locked on and stuff. I'm like, have him like over like McHale and stuff. I'm just like, dude, calm down. Like, he's not. And the people are also doing what you're saying, like falling in love with like the size of him. But he's as Robbie said with like Castle, man. Like Castle, I like him as well, but he's not a point guard. So it's like, that's the thing. So if you get a point guard, Don't try to force. A shooting guard into a role that he can't really do, because then you'll just be disappointed in him, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. I Chuck Cooperstein, the radio voice of the Mavs, likes to argue about this with me. I just, age matters. When you have, like, with Flag being 19 and a half right now, which is what he is,
And Barry's going to be 21 to stop the season. Like, mm-hmm. I think he's 20 now, but when the season starts, he'll be 21.
So let me ask you something. Do you live in the Dallas area?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Have you heard at all about this this seventh grader named Christian Bell?
Not yet.
Okay. Just because I said it out loud, it might appear on your social feed now. But he's a fantastic looking basketball player. The funny part is though, and this is where I'm not being fair, it's a kid, but he's 14 in the seventh grade.
Oh,
means he would graduate high school at the same age Cooper Flagg is right now. And it's made me laugh so hard because he could play up as he should be playing 2 years up. And like why that stuff ends up, it doesn't, you know, and that's neither here nor there for this discussion. It's just something that's been in my head as I've been thinking about reclassification a lot. And like Braden Burry's is one of the only people that I can think of that's actually gotten through the double reclass thing. Now, he reclassed for very different reasons than some other people do. It wasn't just due to athletic stuff. But it's like him being 21 is different than somebody you can get at 19. I'm firmly of the belief that these years of development between the ages of roughly like 14 to 22 is incredibly important. Because at a certain point, your game solidifies, you get into the NBA, and it's harder to develop because you're just, you're playing games all the time. So, got anything else for us, buddy? Maybe his internet went out again. I can't remember. Give him a second here just to see. You don't want to draft a person that's a presidential term older than your best, than your best player. That's very true, Matthew. Good to see you in the chat, buddy, by the way. Okay, Kill Cam, I'm going to let you go here. Thanks so much for hanging out and waiting. We'll try to get you on next week. Sometimes the internet just... Oh, there you are. All right.
Yeah. So, like, oh, my bad. So, I thought you started talking. My bad.
No, it's good.
I don't want to beat up on him because if he's there and he's like, I'm fine with taking him, but I'm also like, don't put expectations on him that he's not going to reach, you know?
Sure.
Like it, you know, like, so, and with Kyrie, I'm with the idea of like waiting until the trade deadline. Because this is right now when the deals are just not that appealing.
Yeah.
So, you know, just wait until the trade deadline. And it's also good to see, like, if this archetype can work next to Coop as well, you know? So that way, sure, in the future, for future team building, you can know, okay, if a certain deal is there and it's for this kind of archetype player like Kyrie is, like, if it really didn't work, if it really doesn't look like good, then maybe we could pass on it. But if we do, like, you could be, like, more certain and take that risk rather than kind of blindly taking the risk, you know?
Yep.
So, like, I'll just wait until the trade deadline and see what we can get. Or, like, if he wants to stay, maybe just ride it out for that season and then wait until the next offseason. And especially, like, if we're playing good, especially, you know, it's like, I don't know. Because, like, if we're playing well, it's going to be kind of hard because, like, well, even if we're playing well, like, just still ask him what he wants to do. Like if we're playing well and he wants to stay, I wouldn't mind keeping him. But if he wants to be traded, it'll be, like, the perfect time because he'll be playing like a all-star player, you know? So,
yes. Yeah.
So, like, yeah. So, and with the head coach search, man, like, have you heard anything? Because, like, I've just been scratching.
I honestly said
there are some rumors, but, like,
I honestly think they make it through the draft and then maybe hire someone. They don't need to, you know, the players are arguably more, you know, long-term important than a specific coach. So I sort of think they make it through the draft and then hire someone, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, man. So, but, like, I'm just been kind of scratching, man. Cause, like, sure, I want Mikal so bad, man, but
yes.
And also with Mar, like, even though it's kind of predictive right now, like, I haven't really seen anything to where it's like certain that the Hawks will take Mara. So it was like, so I wouldn't write that in stone yet. Like, I would kind of see, like, it's a good option for them, but, like, it's not like a guarantee that he's the number eight pick, you know? So,
yeah. Well, all right, man. Thanks for waiting and talking to us tonight.
Sure, thank you. Sorry for the spotty internet.
Oh, that's no big deal. Have a good one.
You too.
Hey, Mr. Green, looking all clean shaven. How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm okay. A little tired. Forgot to eat dinner. Realized that about 15 minutes ago. I'm like, why am I hungry? Just going one of the days around the house. What's going on?
It could be the opposite, mate. I cooked two curries and rotisserated a chicken, and by the time it was all finished, I wasn't hungry. So that's the other side of the coin.
So what brings you on tonight? They haven't won lately, and that's usually your standard for joining the show.
Yeah, we're in a different era now, of course. Where, you know, I don't think they've blown it up, and this is why it's always interesting hearing the younger crowd talk about basketball picks and how to build the team. I see that the Mavericks have, like, a really high need in the backcourt, like,
sure,
most people do, why everyone's clamoring to get a guard. but you can only have five players on the court at one time. And apart from ball handling, what do you think? Let's say we were able to draft the guard of our choice, and let's say it was like a phenomenal 6'7" Slovenian point guard that we take with our pick in this year's draft. What's the next most needed position to fill on the Mavericks? So what I mean by that is, let's say magically we find a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
What comes after that? What comes after finding the point guard?
So if I were to have my druthers in choice in directing the draft, part of why I want Mikal Brown is because he is a big point guard that can distribute and really likes to take the three ball, is a good volume three-point shooter. One of the things I've been thinking about with Cooper Flagg is, despite how good he was with the ball and initiating the play, I think it drained him so much he wasn't able to be as impactful defensively. I want Cooper Flagg finishing plays, dunking, and then being a true two-way superstar. So to sort of answer your,
Sorry, mate, I lost you.
Did my internet die? How about
no, now? No. I've got your audio back now. Yep.
No, I think my internet kicked out. I heard my kid scream, and then the internet went out. I'm like, well, what's happening here? I'm sort of beating around the bush with your question, because I think that shooting is so – the Mavericks were so bad at it, despite having two very good three-point shooters last year. So I'm almost more looking for skills. I also think some of this depends on if you are a Derek Lively guy. Okay. Sorry, my wife just came in and knocked something over in my office. And if you still want to believe in Derek Lively, I get it. Just he's played under 100 games. So it's like, I think you could talk me into just about any kind of position, because there's,
oh, lost you again. Lost your audio, Kirk.
This is dumb.
Oh, here we go. You're back. Yeah, again.
I don't know what's happening, because it is. It's kicking me off. I can see it in the thing, which probably means I should wrap up the show sooner than later. They just don't have enough guys related to Cooper's timeline to where I think you could go in many different angles, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, you can go lots of different ways.
It does, and that's what I've been thinking about. Like, I'm not thinking about this acquisition, so the ninth pick. I mean, I think they'll pick at ninth. I think they'd be crazy to try and go back, to trade back. I wouldn't really like to see them give up a good player, because, you know, we don't have that many good players. But I'd hate to think that they would give up someone like Gafford, for instance, just to jump a couple of spots, because we've all seen the number one pick is not always the best player taken in the draft, and there's always bargains within the draft. So I hope they hold stead, and, you know, if they can't get their future point guard, don't draft him. You've got Kyrie Irving.
Uh-huh.
Pick someone that has a specific weakness, you know, like the 3-4 position. I think PJ is exceptional at that. We're all excited to have him. What we've really been missing, as you said, is someone to control the game.
Right.
To allow Cooper to get off ball. And then I think everything changes. And I think Kyrie can make that. It's hard to be high on the team when we only won 20 plus games last year. But I can't see them making any massive moves until the trade deadline, to be honest with you, Kirk. I don't know what Masai's style is in regards to how quickly he wants to flick the switch on the actual team itself, but Kyrie back, Lively back, bit more floor spacing, Coop not having to handle the ball but able to create, which is what we've been missing in the Luka years. We just didn't have that that sort of secondary, third creator that was tall. And that's why PJ was such a huge addition to the team. So I'm just hoping that we sort of hold pat and roll it out with the ninth pick. And I'd project that ninth pick to be someone to be valuable in the future that can come off the bench in his rookie year. I don't know if he has to start. But I just don't. I just hope that they don't lose assets to try and get a guy that they might have been able to get with the ninth pick anyway. Because you just don't know how it's going to fall, you know. You still there, mate? Or have I lost you again? Oh, I've lost you, Kurt. Oh, you're muted, I think. Maybe, maybe not. No, you're gone, skis. All right, mate, we'll leave it here and I'll speak to you again another time.
Well, my home internet just completely crashed. That was very fun. Can you guys hear me at all now? Okay. This is a sign that I should wrap up the show. Sorry about that, everyone. Just internet issues around the house tonight. It seemed like Killicam was having it too, so lots of fun. Hopefully you guys are hearing that.